Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
It's National Youth Week 2014 with the theme Our Voice, Our Impact, encouraging our nation's 12 to 25-year-olds to positively affect our future. So let's meet the ACT's Young Australian of the Year. He's a disability advocate, entrepreneur, traveller, portrait artist, humanitarian engineer, and a university lecturer. Hoi Nguyen, great to meet you. You were born in Vietnam, where you contracted polio at a very early age.
Yeah, that's correct. I was born in quite a poor community outside Ho Chi Minh City, and I contracted polio around 18 months, and there were other kids that passed away around or died around me, and I was quite lucky enough to survive it. And it was quite a big thing at the time that I didn't have any vaccination. But I moved to Australia when I was at 5 or 6, and which gained me better services and care.
How much support was there for a baby and then little boy with a disability in Vietnam at that time?
There was quite limited support from what I remember, also what my parents kind of, you know, told me. There were very little, especially, you know, very little rehabilitation. And it was quite challenging for my parents.
Did you get a chance to walk first, or have you always only known a wheelchair?
Yeah, so I got a chance to walk. I used these braces and calipers and had crutches. So I was walking, a fair bit, actually. And I was actually quite an active kid as well. And I remember climbing on the roof somehow, I'm not sure how, with my younger brother, and flying kites and getting up to mischief.
Wow. What was it like in school? Was there exclusion, or was it an inclusive experience for you at school?
Yeah, so in younger, like before I moved to Australia, I don't remember much of it, but I think it was good times and also challenging times. I was a naughty kid, and I, you know, got smacked by nuns and all that kind of stuff. So I was just in mainstream school, so not special schools at all. And I had all sorts of peers, and I got up to mischief just like any other kids. But there were, you know, at times when it was quite challenging being, I suppose, physically different and using a wheelchair. And also challenging times around accessibility and teachers knowing what to do with me, essentially.
Yeah. What did you want to be when you grew up?
That's a really good question. I did not know what I want to be, and I didn't have that far thought about it because I was, when, you know, going through school years, I was just so consumed in my own personal image and getting through school, and I didn't have much of a future focus going through my younger days of schooling years, really.
Teenage years are always a period of self-reproach or an emerging sense of self. How did you struggle with your view of yourself relative to the way people reacted to you in those years?
Yeah, so those were some of the most challenging years. I had a lot of self-doubt. I had a lot of image challenges, little problems.
Yeah.
And it was just, especially, you know, being able to participate in other activities or sports, and I was quite, you know, I couldn't really do them, and schools at that time didn't really have approaches to get me incorporated. They tried, but most of the time it was my, you know, a lot of my, the challenge with me around my image of being in a wheelchair, and I found those really difficult growing up, but I suppose I had a positive personality to keep bouncing back.
You're coming to the end of your high schooling years and you're looking at opportunities to come. Yeah. You know, there's universities in everybody's calendar or perhaps a trade. Where did you define your next step as being straight after high school? And when did disability advocacy start to become really important to you?
Yep. So later my, year 11, year 12, I had to make actually quite a big decision because my condition was getting worse and I was developing scoliosis and I need to have a huge operation, which would have taken me out, you know, at least a year, and I had a decision to repeat to make sure I get better grades or not. And that time was the biggest change in my, one of the biggest changes in my life to really think about the future, really. Before that, I didn't, you know, think much about it. And so I made that conscious decision to, after surgery, to really focus on it and actually make something out of what I'm doing. And somehow I managed to make it to university. I'm not sure how, but I did. And the point where I got involved in the whole disability space was when I started my thesis at university in engineering. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was a big turning point as well. And I'm going to say that at that point, I gained a disability. That might sound a bit unusual, but what I mean by that is that I learned about the concepts, about the terminology, about the labeling, and in a way, I got into that space and understand the theory behind disability. And also, for me, that was for me to tackle my personal challenges and overcome them. And that's why I would say, you know, I gained that disability, because it is also about how society perceives and groups people in certain classifications or whatnot.
We'll get on to your disability work, in particular, yep, the work that you're undertaking overseas. But I'm interested in exploring, just for a moment, the biggest misnomers that the broader community have of people living with a disability.
Yeah, so one of them is that there's still a perception that disability is someone in a wheelchair. And that's not necessarily true. You know, they're in the wheelchair because of a mobility, because it's a mobility aid to get them around.
Yeah, but the wheelchair is not the disability.
No, God, no. Yeah. That is, you know, being in a wheelchair doesn't mean you have a disability. So
yeah,
the people, I think there's still a lot more education that's needed around disability that are not visible, that people can't necessarily see just directly there. And there's some of the hugest challenge, a huge challenge at the moment, you know, intellectual disability or mental disability. And we're still quite, you know, getting there with that, I suppose, you know, the best way to put it.
Let's talk about your globetrotting, shall we? Because you're a man who is passionate about advocating for people living with a disability in countries that perhaps don't have any level of sophistication when it comes to working with and incorporating those folks within their broader communities. Let's talk about, in particular, the Enable Development Project, for one.
Mm-hmm.
How did that start, and what are you doing with it right now?
Yeah. So Enable Development, my social enterprise, started when I met my colleagues in Solomon Islands. We were doing a peer-to-peer training for other wheelchair users. And we both, you know, have disability. And she and I thought, you know, this is the way forward, essentially, to improve the lives of people with disabilities, is to have our own personal experience and then work with other people with disabilities in developing countries and help them overcome some of their challenges and advocate for others. So that's how it was all formed.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, we're, you know, quite excited about some of the things we work on, both domestically and internationally. And we're incredibly passionate, and we thrive on the fact that we, you know, we, in a way, can be role models for others as well in our own career and our own way we have approached to life. And that, you know, when we travel to developing countries, that really inspires local community to, you know, to think differently about disability or people with disabilities, and think that, you know, people can go out and do and contribute to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some of the main challenges that happen in, you know, quite rural communities in the places I travel to.
What are you doing practically to get those messages across?
We are training and working with organizations for them to have an understanding of what disability actually means, you know, mm-hmm, on a functional base, and understanding some of the sort of scientific reasoning behind it, and trying to break those barriers, and then demonstrating that through media, local media, that there are these, you know, amazing people just out there doing all these amazing things. And, you know, for example, people, sports stars and all that kind of stuff. And if you think about that as a person with a disability in your community, you know, they have that potential as well. It's a matter of supporting them and thinking about them, that they can do things.
Let's talk about other programs. For instance, water and sanitation in the Enable Development Program in Timor.
Yeah, so water, sanitation, hygiene program, most of that work I do for an NGO called WaterAid. And it started off with my first trip to Timor, which I led a whole bunch of organizations. And it was addressing the human rights and the fundamental basis for, I suppose, human development, which is access to clean water, sanitation, and hygiene, and particularly for people with disabilities,
mm-hmm,
who are so often missed in, I suppose, general mainstream programs. And it is identified as, you know, one of the core foundations to anybody to develop and further in their life. And it was not there for people with disabilities.
How does your life experience inform the way you engineer, or in fact the way that you teach other engineers, because that's another part of your many passions?
Yeah, so being an engineer myself, I'm incredibly passionate about working with the younger generation of engineers and getting to think broadly and getting to think about the social challenges which engineers can contribute and solve. And we do have an educational kit which people can build, for example, build a toilet and understand the different needs of people with disabilities in a fun kind of way. And we also have activities to build the empathy, build their sense of empathy for people with different kind of needs. And, you know, they would wear different suits on to mimic what's like having different functions or limited functions and use a wheelchair and all that kind of stuff.
What's the next project for Enable Development?
The next project, it will be assistive technology here in Australia and improving that whole industry, because there's a lot of problems there at the moment. Things cost way too much. For example, basketball wheelchairs cost, you know, $7,000 or $8,000, and that's a huge barrier for people just to have fun and play.
Yeah.
And right now we're working on a program at the Australian National University to bring in people with disabilities, their ideas on assistive technology, and bring in students and developing that, and also creating and hopefully reducing the cost of assistive technology for people with disabilities in Australia.
Hoy, you've torn the top off my head today and given us a lot to think about. Thanks so much for your time.
No, thank you for your time.
Awesome to speak with you.
Thanks very much.